Look up there in the sky. It's a bird, a plane. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour.
Those boys are so handsome.
One writer,
one artist,
one ugly discussion of comics and nerd culture. I am your host, Robbie Dorman, literature geek and writer.
And I guess this time I'm a smelly host, Eric Z. Goodnight, professional artist and illustration nerd.
And we are the Handsome Boys Comic Sour, your home for news, reviews, slightly antagonistic banter, and much, much more.
I like how you tried to misdirect me.
I did.
We were doing grizzled voices first, and now, of course, you've laid this in front of me. I can't not read it.
I know, it's there. How can you?
Yeah.
You have to read what it says.
I have to. How could I ignore those words? I find it weird I haven't noticed it until now. When did you put it in there?
Like 3 seconds before you logged in.
Okay, well, good. Good. I snuck it in last time, maybe an hour before. Anyway.
So, Handsomeites, we're doing early morning broadcast of a... Good morning, traffic report. Handsome Boys traffic report. Sugar Man in the Nuke.
And I'm the crazy doctor. Yeah. Crazy doc, what we got going on in sports this week?
Now you have my voice. This is amazing.
No. Yeah, we got a great week of comics to talk about. We are reading Sullen Bastards for Nerdbull Book Club. We got to talk like this.
It's going to be a voice heavy episode.
And a very grizzled southern man voice, because Southern Bastards demands it. Because everyone in the book talks like this.
It won't respect you otherwise.
Yeah, I want some pie, fried pie.
It better be fried.
God, fried pie. We also got some cool stuff to talk about, but first. And foremost, it is time for the floppiest part of the week. It is time for Weekly Floppies. Weekly Floppies is the part of the show where Eric and I talk about the week's books and tell you to buy or do not buy them. Pretty simple.
Doesn't sound complicated.
No, it's pretty simple. I mean, when we start instituting mush meters and stuff, then it gets a little complicated. A little bit complicated, not too complicated still.
There's no guarantee that's going to happen.
No, we could go a whole week with no mush meter. We've done that before quite easily.
We did it for most of the episodes of this podcast.
That's true. But now we've instituted them. Well, we had an unofficial mush meter.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have an official.
I don't think it counts.
It doesn't count unless it's an official mush meter?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the way the IRS has it spelled out anyway.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that there was like legality behind it.
Oh, no, you have to declare mush meter.
Good to know. I've not filed my taxes yet, so.
April's just around the corner, man.
I'm waiting for my W-2.
Yeah, I know.
How do I write off comic books?
God, I wish we could.
Can I get tax break for comic books?
That would be lovely.
I get so much money back.
I know.
So, first up this week, we have Marvel. Heavy on Marvel this week, but light on DC. Because I decided it.
Because reasons.
Reasons. Ant-Man number 1, written by Nick Spencer. Art by Ramon Rosanas. Jordan Boyd on colors. Travis Lanham on letters. Idette Wincor as a designer. Hey, you guys know that Ant-Man? This is Scott Lang Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
It's fine.
Yeah, I like it.
Guess I'm not overwhelmed by it. I don't know that I'm crazy about this guy as a character, and it feels like another hammy attempt to make yet another Hawkeye book. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Got a guy on his day off.
Yeah, exactly. It's very little different than all of those books. It's not bad, but I'm not terribly overwhelmed by it.
I think it has more potential in it than it is
yeah,
good.
I agree. It's It's a first issue, and it could be amazing. But
and it does do a lot.
It does.
In one issue. So, I mean, it really sets the stage for the series as a whole.
It is 33 pages, though.
It is. I think that it gets the character to where they want it to, where they want him to be, mm-hmm. and so they can, I don't know. I'm not going to judge the entire series on this issue alone. I enjoyed it well enough. I think is a lot of promise and potential here. Plus, he's in Miami now, and I live near Miami. Mm. I'm going to say it differently every time.
I hope so.
Let's see how close they get to actually depicting South Florida lifestyle.
I sincerely hope they don't.
If Scott Lang doesn't pass a Maserati on the highway going 35 miles an hour.
Well, I was going to say, if he doesn't run someone off the road for using a turn signal.
Yeah.
Oh, you're trying to change lanes? Let me just help you over to the shoulder.
But, I don't know. Do you like the art? I like the art.
The art is, it's very sound, you know, it's very good. It's almost like by the numbers, you know? Kind of like, it's got a sort of rigidness to it, kind of like an All Red, but I don't quite like it as much as an All Red. I'm not trying to accuse this artist of, like, tracing photographs or anything, but it's kind of got that look to it. You know, heavy reference and very, not photorealistic, but not very stylized and not very energetic. But it, you know, they managed to do a lot of things. The color is bringing a lot of mood and atmosphere into it. It's an interesting looking book. It looks like a really slow animation that's made for adults. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like, I don't know, maybe sort of mid-2000s anime, except, like, not anime style, which there were some, but that's kind of what it's making me think of. Except more happens in this anime from that time period. It was just like, let's stare at things and have people speak once in a while.
I'm not super strong on this, but I am a buy. I see that there's a lot of potential here, and I'm gonna check out a few issues before I decide to, you know, be enthusiastic about it or not.
Well, I feel like I'm a buy as well, but since we've been talking mush meter, I gotta mush it up a little bit because I don't think it's the strongest book I've ever read. I'm a little squishy on it. I'd say 2 of 5.
That's not that bad.
No, it's just, it's not that, I'm not a confident buy on it, but it's not terrible. It could be really fantastic. And it could be nothing.
So, double buy.
Yeah.
A little mushy.
Just a little bit.
Next up, The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, number one.
Goodness gracious.
I've been looking forward to this for a while. I'll read the credits as they are written. Words by Ryan North. Art by Erica Henderson. Trading card art by Maurice Wicks. Color art by Rico Renzi, lettering by Clayton Cowles. I really, really like this comic book, Eric.
It seems like it's a lot. I think you're kind of a mean, like a stinky mean person if you don't like this book.
It's amazing.
It I don't know that I'd give it.
I would give it. I'm giving it an amazing.
I don't know that I'd give it an amazing, but it's well worth loving. This is kind of the same thing. You know, taking the C-listers and reinventing them in a neat way. But this one actually does it in a cute and fun and unique way. I mean, there were rumblings about this character, like, not so long ago. I mean, I think even before, like, I don't even know.
She's always been talking about this character. Always been, like, a very mythic thing because she's beaten, like, that's the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. She has beaten these top-tier Marvel villains.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense because she's been mostly been like a babysitter for the Avengers. I'm going to tell you something, Eric, right now, okay? This mm-hmm. is Confession Corner. I used to play Magic online. The Gathering, the card game.
This is very this is consistent with everything I know about you.
I know, it's not a surprise.
No.
No, but You know what kind of deck I made?
I don't even know enough about magic to guess.
It's a deck that's made up entirely of squirrels and squirrel creatures. It's a thing you can do in Magic the Gathering is do that. It's not a very good deck, but I did it nonetheless. And that certainly adds to a superhero that uses an army of squirrels to defeat their opponents.
Well.
Give you some insight.
That's certainly very, very telling.
But this book's amazing. I love it so much. This is great. Eric's not as enthusiastic as I am. I'm very enthusiastic.
It's good. I mean, I had been, what is her name? It's Erica something.
Erica Henderson.
Yeah, I was going to say Henderson, but I'm like, that sounds like a made-up name. That's like my name, plus Harry of the Hendersons. No, I had been following her for quite some time, and it's interesting to see all these people that had been in this sort of network of artists that I've been following on Twitter, Tumblr, whatever, turning up doing these clever little books. I think they're figuring some things out. I don't understand why she's drawing everyone so ugly. It's kind of weird to me. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
What, the art?
I mean, I like the art, but it looks like she's intentionally drawing everyone ugly.
I don't think so. Craven doesn't look ugly. Craven looks handsome.
Yes, he does. He's styling in his leopard skin leotard pants. Or are they yoga pants? Or are they just leggings?
I don't know. I am not qualified to make that call.
I know. The fact that we're wrestling over this should tell you something about the way Craven looks. Well,
I like Craven. I like this book. It's great. It's my favorite book I read this week. I would encourage everyone on Earth with a sense of humor to buy this book.
I'm excited to see more of these.
There's squirrels moving in this issue, and there's boxes mm-hmm. labeled. One says nuts, parentheses trees. One says nuts, parentheses miscellaneous.
Yes.
I can't. I like this comic book a lot. Double buy, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number one. Get some of that Grizzled Southern in there. I'll eat a squirrel.
My cousin literally kills and eats squirrels.
Well,
that's true. I can send you photographic evidence of him frying squirrels in a pan.
Back in Fishing Corner here on Handsome Boys Comic Cellar.
I'm a little disappointed that I didn't read all the little footnotes at the bottom.
Oh, you didn't? They're so good.
It's really difficult.
They're small.
In the reader, because you have to zoom in, mm-hmm. and then it doesn't like to go down to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to have to buy like a physical copy of this so I can read those footnotes, because I'm too lazy to scroll down, so I'll buy another copy of this book.
I'm too lazy. I'm going to spend $4 instead.
Yes.
So next up, X-Men number 23, written by G. Willow Wilson, pencils by Roland Bashi, Jay Leaston on inks, Lee Luffridge colors, Travis Lanham letters. This is the, we've been talking about it for a while now.
Yeah, we've been talking it up, haven't we?
So this is X-Men, which is basically the all-female team. Although, you know, sleazeball Gambit makes an appearance. Mm-hmm. In this issue, offering free massages at Burning Man, basically.
That is exactly what's happening. I feel like Gambit would be walking around shirtless at Burning Man.
Oh, absolutely.
Wearing great big clown pants.
I don't understand that.
He's a relic of the 90s, and so has his Vanilla Ice and / Hammer pants.
Oh, it made me think more of like a ICP, Juggalos.
Oh yeah, I guess it's still relic of the 90s.
Yes,
Jinkos. He's wearing Jinkos.
Yeah, with just big ugly things on him. But there's something. There's trouble afoot at Burning Man, and Gambit happens to be there. But really, most of this issue is about Storm.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it is an ensemble cast, but I think most of it is focusing on Storm. There's something wrong with the Earth, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. What do you think, Eric?
I feel like I would like this better. The art feels very clunky and naive to me, and not in like a good sort of Charles Vess way. I would describe a lot of Charles Vess's. Do you know Charles Vess?
Mm-mm.
He did some Sandman stuff and, I don't know, some different work for Vertigo and or some independent creator-owned books, I feel like. But very good artist, very talented watercolorist. Draws very naive faces that sort of, they look like flounders. Like they have both eyes on the same side of their face.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange looking. And this has a little bit of that going on where, you know, faces and things are flattening out in weird ways and aren't quite drawn correctly. Like this art goes from being fairly decent to very clunky, like rapid fire, and it hurts this issue tremendously for me.
No, I agree with you. That was my main beef as well. I don't know. It's somewhere in the middle. I don't know if I can pinpoint an exact page, but mm-hmm. It seems like, hey, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. Wow, it's not really what's happening.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I think it's making it harder for me to judge this book accurately. I would probably feel like drawn by someone else that's worked with G. Willow Wilson, I would enjoy this more. But it's really getting in the way, and it makes... Bad comic art can make something that is well-written or, you know, is just sort of middle-of-the-road seem childish. And this does... I mean, it doesn't work because of the art for me. It feels like it's short shifted here.
No, I agree with you. I don't. The story itself is interesting enough.
Yeah.
But that scene with, you know, Storm and this vision of Logan she's having, mm-hmm. you know, she's trapped underground.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Like the gravitas and the drama of that moment does not
right.
come across.
No, it does not.
It just feels, you know, silly.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even look like she's underground. It looks like they're on like a soundstage. I don't know. You don't really get a sense of it. There's no sense of feeling trapped. The artist is not quite doing their job here. And it's disappointing.
It is disappointing. Would you want to see a second issue?
It's just simply on the strength of G. Willow Wilson. Even with this same artist, I would give a second issue a shot, but...
You would hope that it'd be
better. I sincerely hope it's going to be better.
It seems like, it looks like, I don't, like it was, I can't, you know, we can't force, see into scheduling and how our editorial decides to do things. It just looks like the art is very rushed,
mm-hmm.
especially with the way that it seems fine up to a certain point and then suddenly it just isn't. But either way, it doesn't sell the story very well. I guess I'm a do not buy.
Yeah.
It's
painful to say do not buy, but.
Cause I don't want to, it's not necessarily the fault with the story, because if you had Adrian Alfano drawing the art,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd be able to tell a difference between this and an average Ms. Marvel issue.
Mm-hmm.
But. Like you said, different artist, a bad job can color a book completely differently. So we may check back. I suddenly got like a Kiwi accent. Check back in. I can't do a.
You're embarrassing. You're embarrassing me. Wait till I get you home, Mister.
Check back in on maybe number 24, and maybe it will have improved. But at this point, we're a double do not buy. Pains us to say.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, our DC book. It's the only one I really had any interest in. And there's three Marvel books I wanted us to read, so there's only one. It's New Detective Comics, number 38. This is the Brian Buccioletto and Francis Manapal as storytellers with... Manapal is the artist. Jerry K. Fletcher in letters. Continuing to see Batman in the city deal with anarchy with a K.
Mm-hmm. Anarchy.
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 Who has delivered these masks throughout the city, and, you know, you're supposed to recreate yourself. So, of course, there's thugs who give themselves, you know, skulls and war paint or whatever, trying, was it, rob a bank, or, and Batman is crashing the party all the while trying to figure out what's going, who the actual anarchy is and all that.
It's a very classic Batman kind of story.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can tell these stories, and they feel classic Batman, but they still just, they don't suck. You know, maybe it's just the halo effect, but it seems like these guys can tell a story, other people tell the same story, and we're like, oh, we've seen this before. And with these guys, we just sort of eat it up.
I can tell you Manipal's art goes a long way.
It does, and it's excellent in this issue. His use of color in particular is stunning. It is beautiful. But it's still pink and green though, isn't it? It's weird that that's such a meme now.
It works though.
It does. It does. They look nice together.
That's the thing. I mean, 20 years from now, everyone's going to look, remember the early teens?
Mm-hmm.
Man, everything was pink and green.
Well, we're mid-teens now, buddy.
Oh, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-teens.
Mm-hmm. We can get even moodier.
But, yeah, I'm bye. Still excellent. This is my Batman comic.
Yeah, I dare say. I likes it. I don't know how I feel about the new Power Girl design that's at the back of this book.
There's no boob window, at least.
I just think, I don't know. We're gonna see. I just think that's a bad drawing, maybe. I don't really have a problem with the design, but that's not a great drawing.
Well, we'll be reading a Teen Titans book eventually.
She's gonna be in Teen Titans.
Yep. She's replacing the old Power Girl for some reason. I'm sure there is some reason in the story. We haven't been reading it every issue. I've been trying to keep up with it, but I think I missed one. But that says that if you read that promo, it says in February's issue. I'm like, well, it's still January. But yeah, Detective Comics number 38, double buy.
Woo!
Woo! Lastly, last comic of the week, or any book of the week, it is Shreve's number 8, the last issue of this arc. I've been reading all along. Eric has not.
I'm going to say, I'm like angry at you for tricking me into reading this. No idea what's going on. Like, oh, all these characters that were introduced at a, you know, at the slowest pace possible, and now everyone's dead.
it's kind of true.
That's what happens in this book.
Written by Warren Ellis, art by Jason Howard, letters by Photographics. But yeah, a lot of, like, people getting murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's pretty rough.
Yeah.
I've been following these characters, and now a lot of them are biting the dust.
Yes, so that has been our joke up till now. That trees, like trees, move very slowly, and then suddenly explode and kill everyone.
Just like that. I don't know if I don't know. There's certainly a lot of stuff happened in this issue. A lot more, like, dramatic things happened mm-hmm. than in any of the previous issues. I can tell you that. Even if you haven't read them, I can tell you that the issues in between are much like the other issues that we've read, where it's a lot of, like, slow character development.
Mm-hmm.
Not dramatic action. And then suddenly, pow, machine guns and explosions and death. So this certainly does have that, I guess, fulfills some of that promise of, like, this is the, you know, the last issue of this arc. And
an eight issue arc is pretty serious.
It is. I'm still a buy on this. I don't know. Tell me what you think, Eric. I know you haven't read all these intermediate issues, but just on the feel of this issue alone.
Well, I'm glad something finally happened. I'm angry that I have no idea what any of it means. I probably just ought to buy the trade of this. Because, I mean, Warren Ellis is someone you can put some trust into, and it feels, you know, like a rich and developed sort of world. This is some of my favorite art this week too. And I believe I've spoken up about this artist before. I've always enjoyed it. It's always been a nice looking book. Like these scenes at the beginning with whatever in the hell blowing up and killing the city. That's some nice looking carnage. It's like just really cool looking. This is not the way to buy this book though. It's only for weirdos like yourself. There's four issues between here and the last time I've read it, so I don't even remember these characters.
You don't remember them?
It's been 4 months. I don't know what this shit is anymore.
Haven't stuck with you?
No.
Here, I'll hold my iPad up to the camera and scroll through issues, the last four issues.
Okay, this is how everyone should, this is the future of piracy.
We just broadcast it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Broadcast comic books.
Yeah, you got a Twitch channel.
I think they'd shut me down.
I hope so.
So is that a buy or do not buy, Eric?
I am definitely a do not buy. It does not, okay. It does not make sense. If you have been buying this all along, then you know you need it.
Stance you've always had.
Oh, well, my criticism before was just that it moved too slow. Not that it was bad. But now, if you've missed out on several issues, this is not a place to start. This trade will be out before too long. Get that. That's what I'm going to do.
I wonder if it's still, Image always puts their first trade out at $9.99.
I know, that'll be almost a dollar an issue.
Yeah, eight issues for $10. Mm-hmm. And on Amazon, it'll be like six. So, I mean, I don't know if they'd actually do it for an eight issue first arc, but we'll see.
We will see.
So Split Decision Trees number 8. I just felt like talking about it on the podcast officially. Make Eric waste his money. I always like doing that.
Clearly. I was gonna buy you a present. But now I can't. Yes. Can't now.
I've gotten you two presents.
So?
Okay.
I deserve stuff.
Spirit of giving and all that. Okay. So Floppy's part of the week is over.
Mm-hmm.
Until next week, at least. Then we get more floppers. I was like, Wednesdays, checking in, seeing what's up for floppers part of the week.
I'm not buying that voice anymore.
You're not buying it anymore? Why not? I'm going to mutate it into something
else. I'm going to say, that's the problem. It's spinning out of control.
It's a nosedive. Okay.
Yeah.
Next up, checking in. Checking is part of the show. Eric and Robbie, that's us.
That is talk us. About what, my gosh.
Talk about what we've been up to during the week. It's certainly nerdy. Eric, what have you been up to? What's up?
The Humble Bundle is up.
Oh.
I wonder if it's even... Did you end up getting it? I want to see if it's still available as we record.
I did. Yeah, there's 10 days left. So, you got plenty of time.
You could even be listening to this and still get the Humble Image Comics Bundle too, mm-hmm. Unless you're listening to it way in the future.
Which is possible.
It is true. There's some good books in here. It's like a no-brainer. You know what I enjoyed a lot was Alex and Ada.
Really? I haven't looked at it.
I haven't really read too many of them either. Alex and Ada was great. I'm really looking forward to reading Deadly Class. Cal, I've heard a lot of good about. I already own Minimum Wage. I already, this is the third or fourth copy of Saga that I have. It's the fourth one I've bought because I bought one for my brother's fiance. Looking forward to Satellite Sam. Did not enjoy East of West.
Really?
It's not a real book. It's a primer book.
Oh yeah, that's not an actual, yeah. It's like a errata. It's not an actual story.
Yeah, I was expecting a book, and it's not. And I
don't, if you click on the description, Eric.
I don't want to do that. I just
it tells you what it is.
I just want to click the buy button and then have comics.
You can do that in lots of places.
I know, I just did it here. And there's a lot of good things. I think I have yet another copy of God Hates Astronauts now. I unfortunately have Genius 1 through 5.
You can read all through those and tell me how good.
I am going to read all of them, and I just have to know what I think about it, because that first one was straight up terrible, and I want to see if they figure anything out, because it looks horrid. God, Wicked and Divine, Manhattan Projects, Fuse as well, and now I have some copy of Sex Criminals of my own. Mm-hmm. I have my very own Sex Criminals.
Well, that's important.
It is important. I don't remember if it was last week or it was not so long ago that I checked in with a comic book reader for Android called mm-hmm. Comic Rack. I have to discontinue using that program because it is unusable. It crashes constantly.
No.
And I paid for it. I paid $10 for that application.
Jeez.
And I am going to write for a refund. Because it just will not stay open, will not work.
Uncheck.
Yeah, I do not recommend this application. So I forgive me. But what is this one that I have replaced it with? I'm using the free version of Challenger Comic Viewer. It is one of the ugliest applications I've ever used, but you know what? It doesn't crash.
Where's that?
It automatically will look at like all these Humble Bundle books that I have on my SD card. I don't need any sort of folder mounting software, which I have and have paid for already. You don't need to have a rooted device or anything. It just does exactly what you think it should. It looks at your SD card and says, there's comics here. Hooray. It actually reads PDFs too, which is fantastic. It's got probably some of the best file type support, certainly better than Comic Rack. So Comic Rack is much nicer looking, worse file type support, does not run. So
the running is an important part of any kind of application.
I'm pretty sure that applications should work, but yes, I recommend it's Challenger Comics Viewer. And I have not yet paid for the paid version, but I think once I get a refund on Comic Rack, I'm going to put that money towards this viewer, because even an ugly app, it works, you know? I can read on it.
That's important.
It is. It makes me happy. That's it for me.
That's it?
Eric's time is over. That's two things. How many things do you want?
Two's good.
How many's better?
I have a couple of things to talk about as well.
Mm-hmm.
First up is a book called Cool Tools by Kevin Kelly. Heard about this, Eric?
I know that Make Magazine does Cool Tools. Is this what this is?
It's related, yes.
Okay,
it's,
cool.
It's Adam Savage recommended it.
Okay.
On one of his podcasts, but it's like an encyclopedia on doing things.
Neat.
Like, it's a huge, if you get the book, it's like huge oversized book. It has, it goes A to Z. You go to like, hey, I'm going to go camping. So you go to camping. It will have an entire section on camping. Like, here's a good tent to get. Here's things you need. Here's something that will do lots of things. Here's a way to, like, it just gives you all the very basic recommendations for starting any kind of activity. Like, you want to start your own distillery? Here's how to start doing that.
Well, you wanna... well, we know we're gonna build some stills.
We're gonna build some stills.
Yeah, we're gonna get some bourbon.
Bourbon.
Some pork. Bourbon, pork.
I don't think you can't make bourbon. You need to age it in barrels. 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 God, we're an embarrassment.
But it's, and it, like, it's not, I mean, it's everything you can possibly think of. Like, I was just flipping through this book, and it's a great reference material. It's a lot of fun just to read, if you're a nerd like me and you, where you just, like, cool, I didn't, like, there's a section on moving. Like, here's how to help, like, how to move easier. Like, it's stuff like that. It has tons and tons of really interesting suggestions. And it's not, of course, it's not, like, this second technology. You know, it's not going to have something that came out a month ago.
It is a book.
But everything in it has been tested and reliable. And it's, you know, it's a good place to, it's not necessary. If you're already an expert in something, you don't need to go there, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you're just starting out, it's here. Start with this. If it works and you like it, then you can move forward from it. And you don't necessarily need this book anymore, but it's very interesting kind of reference tool.
It's like the party platter sampler for the nerd and hobbyist.
Yeah, exactly. It's really interesting. If it wasn't so gigantic, it'd be a great bathroom book, but
well,
like it's the size of a toilet.
It depends on how long you can poop.
I guess that's true, but I'd feel uncomfortable leaving it in the bathroom because it's just so big. There's nowhere to put it.
You need to flip to the part of the book that tells you how to build a giant book bathroom shelf.
I haven't checked that out though. It's probably there.
It probably is.
I just need to go to shelving or something. The other thing I want to touch on is, if you listened to last week's show or awards show, I had mentioned I was going to be getting, the newest volume of Saga the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I reread all four volumes. Saga's great.
That has not changed.
I changed my vote to Saga for everything. Saga wins all the awards. No, it's really great. It's Saga. There's not necessarily been a strong direction in the book. Like, you have an idea of where the book is going. Like, other than, hey, we're going to watch Alana and Marco kind of try and escape the clutches of these people. And we're going to watch Hazel grow up. By the end of volume four, I'm like, oh, I think I know what's going to happen in this book. Of course, I could be totally wrong, but if I'm right, I am very excited. It's awesome. Saga's great.
I'm literally picking up my copy today.
It's amazing. You'll read it and go, oh, yeah, I remember now. Saga's great.
Oh, I've never forgotten.
Yeah. But obviously, I don't know. I don't think I have to necessarily suggest, hey, you guys should go buy the newest volume of Saga. I don't think Saga's struggling.
Considering
but,
it's been sold out everywhere, I don't think you need to suggest it to anyone anymore.
Yes. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Do not hesitate. It's wonderful.
By the by, I seem to remember hearing my ears were burning. Last week when you guys were recording the Simpsons podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mentioned you on air.
Yes, you did.
With the Lombardo method.
Oh, man. I was listening to you guys, like, try and describe art, and I'm like, this is painful.
Yeah, I know. I knew it would. I had you in mind.
I know. We was like, we shouldn't let you guys do this. That is one of my favorites, too. I remembered that one. I can't believe it's in such an early season.
I know.
It's crazy. They're getting Beatles so early. It's shocking.
But, yeah, that's it for checking in. We're good, I think.
What episode of The Simpsons show was that?
That was Brush with Greatness.
What number? Who knows?
I can't remember things. Episode 31.
Okay.
Of The Simpsons show.
You guys are tearing it up.
Yeah, we are moving well along, almost finishing season two. But yeah, the Lombardo method. Drawing.
Drawing things.
Drawing things.
He invented it.
He did. He invented drawing things, John Lovitz.
Mm-hmm.
Last segment of the show.
The final segment.
It's time for Nerd Boy Book Club. Yeah, say with authority. Nerd Boy Book Club is part of the show where Eric and I will assign a longer collected work, and we will read it and discuss it in depth like you do in a book club. Except, you know, it's about comics.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, same principle.
It's this week we're doing Southern Bastards.
Yes.
1-6.
Yeah.
Which, We just exchanged
grunts.
Ale style.
Yeah.
It's, issues 1-4 are collected in a trade, and we read issues 5 and 6, single issues. That's everything there is. There is no more outright at this moment. It is by Jason Aaron, Jason Latour, the Jasons.
Jason Squared.
Jason Squared. I have read it here and there. Eric has professed to it changing his life recently.
It speaks to me at an incredibly deep level.
Explain why, Eric. I think I understand why, and I'm not quite as deep as you are, I think, but I think that's just,
well,
it just calls more attention to your reasoning, so.
There's so many aspects of this book that really speak just so deeply to who I am. It is a deeply, deeply personal book that I feel like Jason Aaron and Jason Latour's experience of being like the weird arty kid in the South surrounded by, you know, idiots that want you to draw them a picture of their truck. I cannot tell you how many people have asked me to draw them a picture of their truck.
I
have never done that.
I don't know why I'm surprised, but I guess I should
be. That's what, draw me my truck. Oh, my truck. Draw me my truck. But Jesus Christ. Like, I think, I almost like want to, did you read the introductions?
Mm-hmm.
They're probably my favorite part of this book. Because it really sharpens up for me why I love this book, you know. And it's that experience of being around these people that you're like them, but you're not like them. There's like this cultural part of you that is like them, and at times you can't decide if you like that or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spent my life growing up around people just like this, you know, the Earl Tubbs and the Coach Bosses,
mm-hmm.
you know,
absolutely.
My dad was the offensive line coach at the high school I went to, and our lives were football, football, football. You know, we talked about it every season. We went to all these games. It was such a big deal. The head coach of the school swaggered around town like he owned the place, like he was a celebrity. He still does. He's still a family friend. But this is like all those experiences just sort of turned up to the nth degree. It's all of those things, except it exposes maybe the subtle toxic, like, you know, things that are under the surface. It just cranks them up to 11. Life is a zero-sum game. The violence and the toxic masculinity, I even say.
No, that's right on point.
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's painfully beautiful. Like the part where Earl is like screaming basically at his father's memory.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I ain't like you. I never asked to be you. It's hard to not look at that and see a little bit of yourself reflected in it.
No, it paints a portrait of the South that anyone who's grown up in the South, as both you and I have, I don't wear it on my sleeve as I don't have a pronounced Southern accent like you.
I have a printout Southern accent.
Well, for Florida, if you like in Tampa, there's not a lot of people with, like, it's weird. Florida, like, there's some parts of Florida where you're like, wow, this is the most southern thing in the world. And then there's parts of Florida you're like, This isn't the South at all. This is like New York City. It's
There's three Jewish delis next to each other.
Exactly.
That one even separates the meat and cheese.
So it's a strange place, but I grew up, my folks are not from the South, therefore I have no Southern accent, but I really do want to show Eric one day my house, where it is.
I'm sure it will look exactly like my house, off on a dirt road.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in a small parcel of land in the Ocala National Forest.
Very nice. Which
has grown to be a bastion of, in the back in the day, my parents were just hippies that didn't want to live near people. And now the worst of Southern society has found them because all the land back there is cheap as dirt and all the meth cookers go there because it's easier to hide from the cops back there. But this book really does distill that experience of this town. Like, I played high school football, the coaches, and I was on a bad team, and still it didn't matter. Like, you're on the football team.
Yeah.
And like, the coaches are always, you're like, hey, it's coach. You know, they're like, it doesn't matter. They're coach.
I called my dad coach. At school, not at home.
Okay. You're like, hey, coach, morning.
No,
school.
No, it's at school because it's weird to be like, dad, come help me with this.
Yeah. Well, my mother taught me in seventh grade. So I did still call her mom, though.
Okay.
But I was a nerd at a private school. So. Okay. There's a difference.
Mine was not private. The school that I went to is completely gone to hell now.
No, I did not go. That was a middle school. I went to a public high school. But I don't even know what my high school's like now. Because I'm never going back. But, I mean, and that's part of what this book is about. It's about Earl Tubb and him coming back to this town. I love the fact that he lives in Birmingham,
mm-hmm.
and
they're like the big city.
The big city.
When I worked in Kannapolis, and you say I have a Southern accent, when I was a young person, I actually worked really hard to try and speak quote unquote proper,
mm-hmm.
And try and, lose this accent. I do not sound like the people where I'm from necessarily.
Oh, and yeah, I you are a very well-spoken Southern gentleman.
My brother has even less of an accent than I do, I think, anyway. But no, still, I mean, he uses the word y'all, and people are like, well, you're clearly stupid. My brother's a PhD.
You're from the South. Y'all, I use the word y'all.
I know.
It's just a thing. You pick it up.
It's a perfectly cromulent word.
Perfectly.
Someone, this is a great story, someone came into, when I was like maybe 19, I was working at a convenience store. Someone came in. He's like, y'all don't sound like y'all around here. And he's like, yeah, y'all sound like one of them Yankees from like Virginia. The birthplace of Robert E. Lee is where Yankees come from, in the town I'm come from.
Yeah. It's a point of pride to live in this tiny crap city and then never leave and be home with the roots.
It is. I mean, and there's something haunting about it. You know, it's like I go home to my hometown and there's like all these names and these people that I grew up with. It feels like there's, maybe two dozen last names that you see over and over again. People that like own businesses, or the people that are doctors, or the people who are whoever, and they're kind of the lords of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird seeing that. A lot of that's reflected in this. Going back and seeing where the roots are. It's a small pond, but like it's odd seeing that those roots there. I don't know. You kind of got me off on a tangent. I wasn't quite sure where to take it.
Well, I mean, that's what your experience echoes Earl Tubb.
Yeah.
His experience a lot.
It clearly does. I got the fuck out of Kannapolis the first chance I could.
And, I mean, like, you read the back of these. I mean, the Carolinas are a lot of comic book talent comes from. And you read the back of this trade and you have, a quote from Matt Fraction, made me both terrified and homesick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they capture exactly that feeling of small town Southern America.
Yeah.
And how Coach Boss is like the godfather.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing he does is coach football.
Yeah.
Like, even that's more important than any of those other, like, he's obviously got his fingers in a lot of pies.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still focused mostly on winning football games because it's like the essence of his power.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're saying, and I can't disagree with that. It's like a metaphorical strength that he draws upon. As long as the team is doing well, he is strong. I guess we have to talk about the end of issue 4 and the movement from, issues 5 and 6 to be about Coach Boss. Cause it's when you're first reading this book.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily, you see Earl Tubb. It's very much like a, walking tall. Yes.
It's exactly walking tall.
Yeah. Where he comes back to this town. It's corrupt. Oh, he's going to be the one. He's the son of his father. He left the town because he hated his father and got in the army just so he could get out. Went to Vietnam and his father dies. His uncle is in a home, so he has to go take care of his effects at his house, and he comes back and just can't stand the corruption, can't stand what he's seeing when he tries to kind of enforce this vigilantism because, you know, everyone's corrupt, the cops, the sheriff ignores mm-hmm. everything that Coach Boss is doing, but he dies. He gets killed by Coach Boss on the street in front of everyone. And then we see like a sudden shift. Issues 5 and 6 suddenly are about Coach Boss for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Did you pick up that he's recently divorced? Did you see the hints that were in there?
No, I didn't.
Just glancing over, like he's sleeping on one side of the bed. The other side of the bed's undisturbed. It shows the inside of the closet. One half is completely cleaned out.
Right.
If he had just had his wife murdered, I don't think any of that would have really been true. At least in terms of the closet cleaned out.
No.
But I mean, it looks like she possibly even left in a hurry. Coach Boss is shaping up to be a pretty fascinating character.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that we're going to. I don't know. We're gonna have some sort of subtle empathy for him there, despite the fact that he's such a scumbag.
Yeah, he's a terrible, terrible person,
mm-hmm.
and yet you still feel something there for him.
Yeah,
like it's very strange. Like, especially issue 6, I think really does cement that about at least the empathy. Like you see him develop as a football player,
mm-hmm.
and what his family was like. Daddy, why is our living room full of chickens?
I didn't see no chickens.
And he has such, and it's like, it's much, very much like that Tony Soprano thing. Like, mm-hmm. he has such a force of will that it's hard not to enjoy him as a character, even though he's a monster
mm-hmm.
who is proud of the fact that he murdered someone in the streets and no one said anything.
Not only that, he puts the thing he murdered them with on a shelf in his bar.
On display.
Mm-hmm. Covered in blood. Doesn't even wash the blood off.
His barbecue joint.
Mm-hmm. It's almost a trope at this point, but it was certainly my experience that, you know, the football players, they just would act like they could do whatever in the fuck they wanted. There were some real assholes that I went to school with that pick on kids and they do whatever and nothing ever happened to them. Coach, just bail them out. Didn't matter. And it's that kind of mentality. Why can't you not get away with all this shit? That's fine. Go for it, coach.
I mean, they even say it, like, in that last issue where when Boss is still a kid, and one of the guys is, they're having, like, a, trying to intimidate him into telling him where chickens are,
mm-hmm.
like his dad stole these chickens, and he's like, oh, well, maybe if you were a starter, anybody can play on special teams.
Yep.
And it's the same thing. The football is a microcosm of everything else.
It really is. It's just how so many people, they see life as the zero sum game, you know? It's like the perfect metaphor for just the way people live. I don't know. I don't have words.
Speak on the art a little bit, Eric, on Jason Luthor's art.
Ugly on purpose.
Yeah, completely.
It works with the story really well. They look like real people, and it's got tremendous energy. And it's got an odd sort of beauty to it, like looking at a Lucian Freud drawing. Lucian Freud never did comics, so probably don't know him.
No, I don't.
Well, he drew really ugly people and a lot of nudes and things like that.
Okay.
It's important, I think. You know, you can't have a book that's about people with zero sum lives and toxic masculinity, young men that just want to play football are sodomized on the football field. You can't have pretty appealing artwork for that. You know, got to be ugly and grisly and terrifying.
It sets the tone for the book.
It really does. Just extremely well.
Of this, because I driving back home for Christmas, just driving the you know, through, honestly, is much better looking now just because retirement communities have come in and mm-hmm. kind of infused money into all these areas that I was around when I was a child that were dirt poor.
Right.
But I mean, it's that kind of culture of poverty. You don't even have to see the town to know what it looks like in the comic. Like, they never show you a lot of the town. They show you, like, the barbecue joint and, like, out by his uncle's house and the football field and stuff like that. But you never see what this town looks like, necessarily. But I know what it looks like. You know what it looks like.
Yeah.
It's every one of these southern towns that we know about or have lived in.
Mm-hmm. Know it like the back of my hand.
Craw County.
That's about the perfect name.
It really is.
It could be called, like, Guts Shitter County. That might be a little bit better. Something like guttural, disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Craw. Do you think that the boss is going to end up being the main character of this book, or are they going to pull another switcheroo at the end of this second arc and something, and something's going to happen and we'll focus on someone else?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Yeah.
They can... I think that wherever they take this, they're going to have a hard time disappointing me. They're going to have to really wreck this. This is like this is to us. This is in their DNA. They're telling this story because it's so personal. And it is so meaningful because it's so personal. And this is, you have to indulge me here for a minute.
Okay.
Because this is going to be a little bit dorky, but I'm going to say it anyway, that this book makes me think of another book, and I'm not sure if they're going to go where I think they're going to go with it. It makes me think of Bitch Planet.
Okay.
Where the overall statement of the book is, you know, as women, this is our experience in the world, is that there are people that control us and tell us what to do, and life is like being in prison. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like the male version of that story to me. That it seems to say, you know, your life is this zero-sum game. There is always a winner and there is always a loser. Your best is never good enough. you always have to try harder. And if you fail, well, then you're just a fucking loser, and that's it. Do you get that at all?
I can see it. I would posit the thesis of, I mean, it's only 6 issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, honestly, considering that they killed what is apparently the protagonist and not even, you know, 4 issues in, that you're not, I don't expect this book to be anything ever. I don't expect this book to be predictable.
Don't be talking that kind of language to me, boy.
I know.
Speak American.
I mean, it just seems like it is positing that, you know, that this ugliness, I don't know. I don't know if I can wrap my head around it. Like, there's a lot of here about the South, about football, about ugly people. And I don't mean just looking ugly, but, you know, ugly inside.
Mm-hmm.
About masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I can try and, I mean, yours is probably good as we can create. At least I can't kind of construct a coherent thought that encompasses it all, but it feels like they're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we're going to have to wait and see how it ends. Because I think that is what is going to say, what, tell me what this book is saying. Yeah, this is, it's an excellent, excellent book.
Mm.
I'm really fascinated to see how his daughter comes to play.
I know. I know. That was the point, because we read number 5 first. That was our introduction to this.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically knew coming in that Earl was dead. Before we even knew who Earl was, we knew Earl was dead. And that was the shocking bit to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this daughter. It's like this big reveal, and it's actually very shocking. You know, you knew he was talking to someone. It just adds additional layers of, you know, what's going to happen, that she's like, I don't know, she's in Afghanistan or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't know. Well, was she a Marine? Her father was a Marine.
I don't know if they actually say if she, what, I think leather. Yeah, it says Camp Leatherneck. So yeah, she's a Marine.
Yeah, Leatherneck. Yes, I remember thinking she was a Marine. No, it was truly shocking to see that. I was absolutely not expecting it, and I'm dying to know where it's going to go. I mean, I am on board. I don't think I can not read this issue by issue. This is going to be like Saga, that I'm going to end up buying it 4 times. I've already bought it 3 times. You're holding one of them in your hands.
I am.
It makes me want to eat garbage. I want to go eat fried fruit pies.
Fried fruit pie, dear Lord.
I know. Diabetes.
Did you see some of his sweet tea, art at the end?
He's got his amputated foot.
Sweet tea. Nothing die beats me.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Lord.
He knows what he's doing.
Did you see the recipe for fried apple pies? From Jason's mom.
I thought it was interesting because it specifically says it has to be cold water.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently when they do tempura is what it's called.
Tempura, there you go. Tempura batter. Called.
But apparently one of the secrets of tempura batter is using very cold water, because it keeps the batter from getting very greasy.
Mm-hmm.
Something about that, I don't even know. But that I imagine that's why they specifically say cold water. It's a deceptively simple recipe. These are probably very easy to make badly.
It's all about the execution.
Yes. I really want one now. This is terrible.
Fried apple pie.
I know, right?
It is delicious.
Mm-hmm. So are a lot of things. Sweet tea is probably very good. Coca-Cola is very good. Pepsi, also. Pepsi's from New Bern, North Carolina. That's one of the things that I often think about, is like how Southerners just inflict such bad health on themselves. All this sugar and garbage, and giving themselves diabetes and obesity. God, it's just so in our culture, though.
No, I think that's in this book. It's not certainly the main story or anything, but it is part of the, you know, the barbecue and the fried apple pie and like it's present. It's the environment. And I think that I think they are working on this book is building a thesis about if it is going to say anything, it's going to I think it is something about the South in general. And it already has kind of said a lot.
It has said a lot.
And I think there's still a lot they're going to say. And that's actually very exciting because I think that as good as this is, I think the potential for what's left is even better and higher and there's more. So Southern Bastards, anyone who's from the South, this is an excellent book to read.
You know, I kind of want my dad to read it. Would you get your dad to read this book?
My dad, I mean, I've been buying him, I finished up the entirety of Jason Aaron's Thor run of God of Thunder. I gave him the last of those books for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'd read this. He's as funny as he's living in the South most of his life now, but he's still kind of an outsider to a certain extent.
He's transplant.
He's from New Jersey, South Jersey. He's more from Philly, the Philly area, or Virginia. I mean, he played high school football, so he'd certainly get that.
Mm-hmm.
He actually played on that, the Remember the Titans team? He played on that team the year before they merged.
Hmm.
He knew a lot of those people that were in that movie. But he would certainly would understand this book because he's lived in the South. I mean, he works in construction in the South.
Mm-hmm.
With a whole bunch of good old boys, he certainly would understand this book. But that's not a bad idea. I probably should recommend it to him. Would your dad? You think your dad would read it?
I had a hard time trying to get him to read it. He makes up his mind almost instantly about how he feels about something and decides he's going to do or not do it. So I would seriously have to hound him to get him to read this, so it's probably never going to happen. My brother read it.
What did he think?
He didn't seem to say anything one way or the other. He read the copy that you own now.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. It speaks very, very deeply to me, and I'm very curious how they feel about it, because brother never said much one way or the other.
Hmm.
Barely said a word about it. I mean, really, honestly, we're men. We're just supposed to stay quiet and bottle this shit up and then die young.
Be grizzled old.
Yeah, it's supposed to be grizzled.
Talk like this all the time.
I just pronounce about half every word.
I'll use half syllable and you never have to worry about people talking back to you because they don't understand what you're saying.
Yes, that's true.
You don't have to have conversations. You say something that no one understands.
All right, what? Bop.
Yep. Right. Yep.
Bart'll do.
But yeah, Southern Bastards 1-6, Trades Out 1-4. It's a very good comic book. You guys should read it. It's really, really good. It's excellent. Very exciting. I think it's as good as this is. I think its potential for what's next is even like, there's no limit. I think that's a testament to these guys that they can build this world where, you know, these stories are just there waiting to be told. I mean, they could take this story a million different directions and it'd be, like Eric said, very hard for them to mess it up just by keeping doing what they're doing. Definitely recommend it, especially to Southern gentlemen like ourselves.
Yeah.
Next week, Nerdboy Book Club, we are doing the aforementioned saga. We're 3 and 4. We did a previous book club with 1 and 2. We're just going to do a kind of a roundup, do 1, 2, 3, and 4. Obviously 3 and 4 are the new ones, but we're still going to kind of touch on things that happened in 1 and 2. So if you haven't read 1 and 2, you know, please read them, obviously, but they're obviously in 4 and volumes 3 and 4. So we're just going to include them just rote. But we both have read 1 and 2 many times, and now 3 and 4, I've read 3 several times, and 4 is, I think, the one I'm going to read a second time, and already looking forward to it again. So, yes, the entirety of Saga volumes 1-4 next week.
I think that'll do it.
I do right there.
We are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour. You can find us at handsomeboyscomicshour.com. Find all our new stuff there. You can find us on iTunes. Just search Handsome Boys Comics Hour. Please rate, review, subscribe if you like the show. It really helps us out. Really helps us get new listeners. Really appreciate it. It's pretty much the best thing you can do to help the show. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/HandsomeBoysComicsHour, Twitter at HBCHour, email us, handsomeboyscomics@gmail.com. Yeah, all those places, great ways to reach us. Please, we like to hear you guys. Please let us know what you think about the show, recommendations, suggestions, any of those things. We definitely try and include them in the show. I am on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. Eric, where can they find you online?
My goodness, you can find me online by going looking for my portfolio at freewillunlimited.com, and most of the other things I get up to online at ericzgoodnight.com. And you can tweet at me. Twitter handle is Mr. Bad Example, spelled MR Bad Example.
With that, we'll call it a day. Have a good one.
Rock and roll.
Country music.